Now, my second daughter really challenged me because she was totally the opposite. She was skipping school, wrecking cars, getting tattoos, and I was going crazy. How could I have the same two girls in the same household and they were so different?
Everybody, I'd like to welcome you to my podcast, Renew Motherhood. And this episode is how to avoid burnout for moms. And for this topic, I have got an amazing guest, Susan Landers. I'd like to hand it over to you, Susan. Please briefly introduce yourself. Who are you? Where are you from?
Thank you, Blanca. I am a retired physician. I live in Austin, Texas, on the other side of the world, where it's always hot. I practiced neonatology for 34 years, taking care of premature babies and sick newborns. And of course, their mothers and fathers, because they're always around when their baby's sick. And I loved my work. I absolutely adored being in the ICU and taking care of babies and their families. And after I retired, I wrote a book. I wrote a memoir about my life, having a medical practice and raising three children, because I felt like I had made plenty normal kind of motherhood mistakes. And I wanted to share those with other younger mothers. My patients' mothers had always said, "That's a great story. I'm so glad you told me you messed up." You know, they seem to enjoy knowing that a pediatrician made the usual motherhood problems occur. And so I wrote a memoir and I wrote my NICU stories, my favorite patients. I told their stories with their parents' permission, and I wrote my own stories. And so my book is called So Many Babies, and it's available everywhere, Amazon, Barnes and Noble, on my website. And after I wrote the memoir, I decided, well, I still have a message. I still want to help younger mothers. And so I volunteered to be on podcasts and I started a newsletter and I write a blog and I do all these things so that I can support working mothers. I am here to tell you I've made about every mistake you can make as a working mom. And I know it's hard to be a working mother. And I think I have a little lived experience that helps other people.
That's great. So this is the point that we are connected here, talking about motherhood and talking about how it is and how to go through this and not to fall into a burnout, right?
Right. It's so easy as you are a working mother to do everything for everybody. The emotional load is huge. Running a household and holding down a job and caring for your children and your partner is very, very taxing. And what we do as women is we tend to take care of everybody before we take care of ourselves. We are at the bottom of our to-do list. And one of my biggest messages, most important messages for moms is if you do not take care of yourself while you're working full time and raising a family, you will burn out. You will get to the end of your rope. And there are ways to make sure this does not happen.
That's great. Yes, we always have to keep something in mind about this to really say, okay, there is no other way. I have to take care about myself. And yes, what have you experienced on this journey regarding a first challenge that affects mothers?
I think the first thing I learned was how to ask for help from my partner, from my spouse. I would go to work and talk with my doctor, female doctor friends. We all had young children, toddlers, and whatnot in those early years. And we were trying to do everything. And we would always say, "I can't get this done. I can't get that done. What are you doing?" And of course, we had help at home. Our kids were either in daycare or we had a nanny, but we were doing way more than our husbands were doing. And it occurred to me to sit down and ask my husband to do specific things to help me. Could you take him to the pediatrician to get his vaccines? Could you take him to the pediatric dentist because his tooth is turning gray? Could you help by doing this? How about soccer Saturday morning so I can go out and have coffee with my friend? And so I learned very early that asking for help was a huge part of being a successful mother and a full-time worker. Now, having said that, the piece about talking to people at work is so important. You have colleagues in your workplace, other working mothers, and they're a support system. They help you by discussing with you the things you're challenging. Hey, what do I do about my no good husband who never helps? And I'm shopping and cooking, and I do everything, and he does nothing. Your friends will help you find solutions to what works in their household, and you can take some of that advice and use it in your household.
Well, that's great. So communication is key here with your spouse
Yes.
to really say, okay, how can we do this together, right?
Right.
We are a
Right.
team. We are married. I did this all together, so let's go through
Right.
this together.
Right. But for single moms, it's a little harder. They're going to have to look for their support system a little further out, maybe mothers, maybe sisters, maybe neighbors, maybe coworkers, sharing carpools, sharing taking care of sick kids during the day if you have to not work. And so it's much harder for single moms. But for women who are married or who have a partner, we do not involve our partners enough. We need to sit down and make lists and make their list and make our list so that they can see how much we are doing and how much they are not doing. And visually they will see, oh wow, she really does way more than I do at home and still has no time for herself. So asking him to do certain things, asking him or her to do certain things is your first step to not burning out.
Yeah. Okay. So this is huge to really say, okay, let's talk about this. And, but actually also to hear his opinion, right?
Oh,
About
yeah.
this. Not to say,
Oh,
okay,
yeah.
you have to do this now
Right.
instead of inviting or, yeah.
Right. David, my firstborn was a toddler. No, I think he was a preschooler. He's probably three. And he had a terrible fever. And I'd been up with him at night. And in the morning, I got ready for work. I called the pediatrician. I tried to get an appointment that day. I called work to see who could cover for me. My husband was getting ready and was literally walking out the door. And I said, "Where are you going?" And he said, "I'm going to work." And I said, "Well, what about me? I have a job too." And he said, "David's sick. What about me?" And he said, "Look, you'll handle it. You always do handle it." And he walked out the door. And that was my first time to say, "Wow, I am so effective at handling everything that I have given him permission to let me do it all." So we have to check ourselves. Do we succeed in running the whole household because we're good at it? And he lets us because we're good at it. And I think young mothers need to ask themselves that question as we expect our partners to do more and more to help out.
Okay, so this also comes down to say, okay, do this in the beginning, right?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. If you wait until they're in elementary school, he's not going to want to change his habits.
Yes, why? It worked
Right.
6 years, 7 years.
Right. Yeah.
Okay, so as a mother, you always have to put on so many different hats.
Right.
And what number one advice would you give to other mothers so that they can stay in their energy and being aware of their own needs?
Yes. Self-care might be a dirty word for some, but it is crucial to being a successful working mother. And self-care is different for everybody. For me, it was walking outside the house, taking a walk or taking a run in the neighborhood, because for me, getting outside and moving and being in nature is calming, soothing. It's how I maintain my mood. It's how I got a little exercise. It's how I got away from the chaos in the house. And so other people may want to write in their journal. Other people may want to have a coffee date with their friend once or twice a week. Other people may find that keeping a list of gratitudes is best for them. Other people may find having a date night, get a babysitter, and go out with your spouse is the best thing. For me, it was always sort of getting out of the house, going for a run, enjoying nature. And we know now, Blanca, that being in nature is a huge mood stabilizer. Enough studies have been done that show us that our mood becomes more level, not as erratic and calm. We generate dopamine and endorphins. We think more clearly. Sometimes we even unstress outside in nature. So each mom will have to find what works for her. Is it yoga? Is it Pilates? Is it running? Is it coffee with a friend? Is it writing in a journal? What do you do, Blanca, for your self-care?
Well, I love to do sports. So I go
Good.
out for sports, but always I did a lot with my husband too. So to
Good.
do something, to have this time together.
Yes.
Still, it's not, it's a kind of self-care and it's a kind of partnership care. And yes, this could only happen when my children were older. So even
Right.
in the beginning, we didn't do this. So
In
we
the
always
beginning, it's
didn't.
hard. Yeah, you have to get a babysitter. You have to actually take yourself away from the kids. When they're older, it's easier. But I love that concept of partner care, self-care and partner care. That's such a great concept. We had been married about 10 years. And yeah, the baby was 3. My oldest was 10, and my youngest was somewhere in the middle, 6 or 7. And our marriage was sort of floundering. I had a new job I didn't like. My husband had a new job he loved. I was working harder than him, more hours. I had more night call in the hospital. He had a great secretary, and I just felt like we were so off balance. And what we had to do in that part of our marriage was sit down and talk about who needed what, whose situation was untenable, mine, and what we were going to do about that. And we did partner repair, partner care, and partner repair. We went to see a therapist, we worked on our marriage, and over a 2-year period, as I was getting better and our marriage was getting better, we decided that we were going to move to another city for jobs that were good for both of us. And so there will be times in your marriage and partnership, times in your life where your job may be the worst and it's not right for you and your kids and the ages they are, and you need to reset. And so one of the ways to avoid burnout is to actually admit when you need to reset, when you need to examine what's going on, and how to take care of your relationship and yourself.
That's great. Yes, I love this. So actually, when you just mentioned nature and all the studies around this, here in Germany, there is a new, well, kind of new study. It's probably not so new, but we call it translated forest bathing. This means you have to go through the forest and with different trees. There are some needle trees that spread terpentine, and this is good for the immune system. You have to, you
Interesting.
can, yes, stay
Interesting.
healthy too.
There, that's great. There's so many
With
benefits
walking
from
through
nature.
the
Yeah. You know, I don't know how big people who live in big cities get their nature fix,
forest.
but I will tell your listeners about one study. And that was people in high stress jobs in New York City were divided into two groups, and one group was told to go to a particular park and eat their lunch every day for, I don't know, 6 weeks, not leave the building. The other group was told to have lunch in their regular way, in the cafeteria, in their office, whatever. And they did stress scores before and after. And the group that went to the park in the middle of the day to eat lunch had way less stress. I mean, it was phenomenal that just that one little intervention, getting out of your office and going to sit in the park around the trees and the bushes and the flowers and the ducks and the dogs, made everything feel a little bit better. So I want people to think about how you de-stress during your day.
Yes.
How do you get away from the office? How do you get out of the unit? I would walk down 8 flights of stairs to this coffee shop and get coffee and walk back up 8 flights of stairs because it was way better than just getting a coffee.
Yes,
And it
to move
worked for
also.
me. Yeah, you clear your mind when you get away
Absolutely.
from the stress of intense work.
Yes, absolutely. I can totally relate to this. So, what has been your biggest mistake on your way as a mother? What would you do? You like to share something?
Yes, absolutely. I think my biggest mistake was having expectations of my children that were so high, they had a hard time meeting them. I expected my children to excel. And I'm married to a physician, so they got a double whammy. You're supposed to go to college, you're supposed to go to grad school, you're supposed to do this, you're supposed to do that. And I didn't realize that I had given that message to my oldest daughter when she was a teenager. She was a straight A student. She was a swimmer. She was a social butterfly. Her whole life was just perfect. She came home from summer camp and said, "I need to go on a diet." And I went, "What? You don't need a diet. You weigh 110 pounds. You're fine." She stopped eating. And it took us a few months to figure out that she had anorexia, she had an eating disorder. I took her to the pediatrician who didn't believe that was the case. Nevertheless, we finally got her diagnosed and she had, I got her a good therapist and a good nutritionist, and she worked through her control issues, her perfectionistic issues. And I worked through mine because I felt so guilty and so responsible. She was perfect the way she was, but she got the message from me. You have to be perfect. And that was not what I intended. And so my daughter recovered from her eating disorder. She had a great high school career. She did well in college. She's now a pediatric ICU nurse practitioner. She's still a little bit of a perfectionist. She still really expects herself a lot from herself. But the mistake that I made was expecting too much from her and not reassuring her that she was just fine the way she was. I thought I was telling her that, but what she heard was something different. You have to be perfect. You have to make A's. You have to do like I do. And so I want moms to think about what they expect from their children. Are they allowing their children to be whoever they want to be? Now, my second daughter really challenged me because she was totally the opposite. She was skipping school, wrecking cars, getting tattoos, and I was going crazy. How could I have the same two girls in the same household and they were so different? And with my younger one, she was rebelling against what we expected of her. The older one was going rigidly towards what we expected of her. And so I think you need to be very careful in what you communicate to your children and what you expect from them. The number one message is, I love you. I support you. You are an individual. It's your life. And I think that's a hard thing for moms to learn to think and say because we love them so much. We want them to do well. We want them to succeed, but they're going to be
That's why
different.
the expectations come from, right?
We want them to succeed and be happy and be independent. And that's good, but we have to be very careful about how we give them those messages. When they act different from us, we need to step back, take a break, think, what's the message here? What is she or he telling me? And let them lead the way. So I guess my advice is instead of telling your children always what you expect of them. Now, it's fine to say, I want you to be kind. I want you to be honest. I want you to be ethical. But if they want to do something that's not in your wheelhouse, we need to let them do it.
Yes, they have to do their own mistakes to learn from, and we can't save them from everything. Because one
Nope.
time we are not just close together and they have to make some mistakes.
Right,
They have to
right.
find their path. Not that they
Exactly.
always have to make mistakes, but this can happen and it's not so bad to have mistakes. So,
Right,
and I
right.
think the communication part is here again is very crucial because sometimes we think we have got a picture in our mind and we think, okay, this picture is clear and I want to transport it into your head. But with the words I use, you've got another picture inside and this is not matching. And then there is a lack of communication, right? And
Right.
you have to make this clear that this is the right, that what I say is the thing that you can hear and that you can understand. And it's the same picture that we have, right?
Right. Or ask them what they heard us say. What did you hear me say?
Right.
Because sometimes they hear different things than what we thought we said.
Yes, and sometimes we have got an emotion
Oh,
with our
yes.
words, and this emotion is more important than our words.
Right. Yes, our expectations are on our face. Well, of course, I expect you to be a straight A student. Of course, I expect you to go to grad school. And, how we respond when they say, I made an A on my chemistry test. Oh, that's wonderful. Okay, dear, do you like chemistry? If she said no, I would have said, well, fine. Okay, what do you like?
Right.
So we
Yes.
do have to clarify what they hear us say about our expectations.
Yes. That's great. Yeah, I love this advice because this is really important. So otherwise we are just talking and nothing is coming. There is no
Right.
reception for this. No, they can't deal with it. So, okay. How did you come across the topic of burnout mothers? So,
I suffered through, yeah, I suffered through burnout twice in my life, once in my 40s. And I mentioned that episode when I had a bad job and only one good friend and three kids, and I was working way too much and I got depressed. And it was a lot like burnout. And I recovered from that depression by working with a therapist and by resetting priorities and over a 2 year period. Deciding to change jobs. And so that was my first episode as burn episode of burnout as a working mother. And I freely talk about that because I think a lot of women deal with postpartum depression. It's a common complication of childbirth. And a lot of women nowadays are dealing with burnout from their work. Then later, before I retired, Blanca, I developed burnout from my work. I was
Whoa.
working too many hours, taking night call. There were a lot of really ethically challenging babies in the NICU where the doctors and parents disagreed on therapy. My youngest was in college abusing marijuana, and I was worried about her. And I found myself getting fatigued, exhausted, overwhelmed at work. And I had never done that before. I mean, when I was tired, I would go home and take a nap and then I'd be fine. But I would wake up and dread going to work. I was 60 years old. I woke up and I said, I hate this. I had never hated it before. I'd always loved it. And then I felt like I sort of distanced myself from my patients and from the nurses and from my colleagues. And I had never done that before. I had always been kind of buddy buddy with the nurses. And then finally, I didn't feel like I was making a difference. And so I started therapy again because I wanted to recover from burnout. I changed my practice to part-time and went to a different location, a different hospital. And over the period of a year, year and a half, I got better. Exercise, journaling, practicing gratitude, therapy, meeting with friends, laughing, telling stories, going out with my husband. I got better. And so again, I took
But
care of
it's a
myself and
process,
I got
right?
better. But when I had that second episode of burnout, I thought, I need to write about this. I need to speak about this because I have enough experience with how it hits you. And I need people to know what to look for and how to get better. And so what I've done, I've written about working mothers and burnout. I've created an ebook called Defeating Burnout. I have a blog. I write on my blog a lot about working mom burnout. And I started a newsletter, Moms Matter, on Substack. And I really like it. It's fun. And I can write about, medical stories, my stories, burnout, partners, children, whatever I want. And I'm really enjoying using my older years to give just a little bit of experience and wisdom to younger moms. And so that's why I'm talking about burnout.
Would you say that there is a point that you can avoid it? Well, we talked about self-care, but sometimes you mentioned, okay, if I go to work and if I'm tired, I can just get a nap, everything is good. But this burnout is something more than just to say, okay, it's just a lot of work, I have to do this. Instead, it's an impact on your emotions, right?
When you are burned out, it's not just tired and emotionally exhausted. It is you dread your job. Or you think you're doing a bad job as a mother, your trigger may not be your job. It may be your very difficult child. It may be a special needs child. Your trigger may be a marriage that's falling apart. We all have different triggers for burnout, but when we feel like we're not doing a good enough job, that's crucial. That's the big red flag. If you think your work sucks and you're bad at your job, you're definitely burned out. If you think your child has sent you over the edge and you just don't know how you can keep doing this, that's burnout. And so I think that there are lots of different triggers. I talked to a group of nurses and I took a poll and I asked them what caused their burnout. 45% of them said too much work and managers that weren't sympathetic. So it was job related. 20% of them said children and children's issues. 20% said their marriage. And so the message there is it's different. Burnout is not always job related. Sometimes it's very personal. Sometimes it's our social situation. Sometimes it's our marriage, our child. Women who take care of special need kids, they're saints. They work so hard, so hard. And getting the kid to and from all the appointments and all the special tutors and all the special services is no small feat. And so I think the message should be if you feel you are really lousy doing something, that's a big red flag. If you're not fulfilled being a mother, if you're not fulfilled being a wife, being a worker, being a nurse, being a doctor. If you think you're not doing a good job, that's a big red flag.
What's your advice? What should you do then? If you just notice this and say, okay, doesn't
I
work.
have on my website some self-assessment checklists
Oh,
that
great.
are free resources. A checklist to see if you're burned out and a checklist of self-assessment questions. And that's the first place to start. Ask yourself those 35 questions for a self-assessment, and you'll come up with a notion of what sent you into burnout. And then try to get a little distance from the trigger and yourself. Can you take off 2 weeks from work? Can you take a vacation from your problem child?
Mm-hmm.
Can you and your husband begin to work on your marriage? It's different for everybody, but there needs to be some way to get a little space for you to assess what put you here and how you're going to get out of the situation. I'm a big proponent of therapy. I love psychotherapy. I think it's very helpful, especially now that it's online and telemedicine. Some people like working with a coach. Some people find that meeting with their best friend 2 times a week is enough. I know you've talked about it on your show. Simply voicing your concerns and talking with your best buddy is therapeutic because she's going through the same thing. She understands it's a real pain to get home at 6 and have to cook dinner. We all go through working mother issues, and when we share our troubles with our friends, it reassures us that we're not the problem, that we're just trying to make it all work. And so you have to get a little space. You have to do some sort of self-assessment to figure out what to work on. And then you have to choose a path to recover. Does that
Yes,
make sense?
absolutely. Well, for me, it makes sense. It's so logical to say, okay, step one, step two, step three, go.
Well, it doesn't always work out logically, but it is. And in my new ebook, Defeating Burnout, I go through all of that in depth because I wanted to put down on paper in print how to identify what's going on, how to start doing something about it, what methods you can use to recover, and how you keep from going there again. So, what I wanted to do was turn my 2 experiences of burnout into examples that would help other people.
Yes, so there must be a reason that you went through and you reflected it, so you're
I
able to give
guess
back.
it was pretty painful, though. It was when I was burned out at age 60, it was pretty painful because I had always been such a good doctor. I had always identified with being effective and fulfilled and an important part of the medical system and parents' lives. And when I didn't feel that, it was horrible. It was so bad to feel like I wasn't helping anymore. And so for mothers who feel like you're not doing a good job, please, please take my checklist, take my self-assessment questions. They're free. They're on on my website.
Yeah, so great. Yeah, so there is a helping hand here. So you have written your books, you've
Yes.
got your website where people can go to. Is there another offer that you have, or is this the checklist and to so
The ebook Defeating Burnout is available on my website. I think my offer is a free subscription to my newsletter, Moms Matter. I have been writing there for a year, and free subscribers can have access to the archives. I have written about burnout. I've written about struggles with children. And so I guess the free offer would be my Moms Matter Substack newsletter. And the way you get to that, if you go to Substack and just type in my name, Susan Landers, or Moms Matter, it will come up. If you go to my website, there is a way to subscribe. SusanLandersMD.com is my website, and you can subscribe there for free. The resources are free. The ebook is a nominal charge, but it's not much.
okay, that's great. So people can find you on your website. Are you also on social media or?
Oh, yes. I'm on Instagram, Facebook, and again, all those links are on my website. So
Great. I
if
will
you,
place this in the description so people can find you. No
Yeah, I
problem.
love it. And I like to hear from moms. There's a contact part where you can just send me an email and ask me a question and bounce a problem off of me. I like answering questions.
Oh, that's great. That's great. What a helping hand. Wow. Thank you very much for being my guest here on this podcast. I really enjoyed our conversation. I think
Thanks, I did too.
you gave so many valuable things about burnout and motherhood. And yes, I think there are a lot of takeaways here.
Good, good.
Thank you very much. And for all the listeners, please stay tuned, subscribe this channel, and see you the next time.
Bye.